I want to talk this morning on a subject that I hope will be helpful to these young people and at the same time be helpful to all of us. I've entitled the lesson, No Deposit, No Return. I think I mentioned in an earlier sermon that I grew up to the extent I've ever grown up in Austin, Texas. I did that during the first heyday of the University of Texas Longhorn football team before It reached decline, being unable to beat anybody except A&M. And before Darrell Royal made his appearance on the scene to take it back to its proper station in life. Very often on Saturday, I would find my way down to the football stadium. I didn't have the price of a ticket, but if I got there early enough and got close enough to the gate, when they opened that gate to let in young men to sell popcorn, ice cream, cold drinks, whatever it happened to be, I'd be lucky enough to get through that gate. In that day and age, they didn't sell their cold drinks in paper cups. You carried around a case of cold drinks with the bottles in the case, and you passed the bottles down the aisle. And when the game was over, those of us that needed the pennies more perhaps than some of the others would go around and we'd collect those bottles, and we'd take them back up to the proper place, and we'd get some money for those bottles. But something strange happened along the way. They changed the contents of the container, and it became more trouble than it was worth to handle the new containers. And a new legend appeared upon soft drink cans. It said, no deposit, no return. They weren't worth very much anymore. That's where it all started. Our disposable society. Today, plastic, paper, and styrofoam simply rule the world. And you use it, you get everything out of it that you can, and then you simply discard it and throw it away. From paper plates to paper diapers, disposable diapers, and contact lens, you simply dispose of them when you're through with them, and you get you another one, and you go on your way, and you forget about the old. The only problem that we have with that is that many of us have decided that our society, our people, are just like that. They're no more important than the paper plates and the plastic contact lens that you simply throw out and dispose of. Look around you. In our class this morning, the young couples class, Alan Pence taught a wonderful lesson. And in the course of that lesson, he talked about our throwaway families and disposable children. And when we look at our society, we discover that that's true. Half of our marriages end in divorce. Half of our children are being raised in single parent families. Because these things no longer have the meaning to us they once did. We simply dispose of them when we are through with them. It's the same way in the workplace. The average American moves every 5 years. He goes from job to job. We don't put down any permanent roots. We don't establish any lasting relationships. And lo and behold, 20 years of loyalty with a company doesn't mean much when it's involved in a leveraged buyout. And all of a sudden, people who have been with the company 20 and 25 years are disposed of with maybe a year's severance pay. We live in a disposable society, and somehow we begin to think that we ourselves have become disposable. We too can simply be thrown away. And when we begin to have this attitude toward ourselves, all kinds of psychological boomerangs begin to go off in our minds. We become depressed, dejected. We feel unloved and unwanted. We feel like we're unworthy. We feel like we are inadequate. And when we develop those feelings toward ourselves, then what we do with ourselves is begin to dispose of ourselves, throw ourselves away. Look at us. We eat too much, we work too hard, we sleep too little. And what is that if it is not step by step, inch by inch, throwing ourselves away, disposing of ourselves? And when the pain becomes too unbearable, what happens then is we sometimes reach the point where we literally try to dispose of ourselves by suicide. I want these young people and I want all of us to understand this morning that we are not disposable. As Christians, we need some kind of medicine to convince us that we are important. And I want to suggest four things to you this morning that will say to you that you are important. Number one, you are important. You are not disposable because you are made in the image of Almighty God. You want to think about something really amazing this morning? Something that is absolutely wonderful beyond imagination, beyond description. I'm made in the image of Almighty God. Isn't that amazing? And when I began to understand that I am made in the image of the Almighty, how can I ever think of myself as being unimportant, as being disposable? You know, when you look at Jesus who came to show us the Father, one thing you notice immediately is that Jesus was interested in people that society somehow believed were disposable. Look at some of the greatest moments in the life of Jesus recorded for us in Holy Scripture. And you discover that they were with people whom society regarded as disposable. The woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. The woman taken in adultery. Zacchaeus, who was despised as a tax collector and gatherer. Jesus had time for the little people, the people who were disposable. And you know what you and I are charged with doing? Listen to Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, you and I are to show forth the image of Jesus Christ in being interested in those people who are disposable. And every time I look at this congregation and its magnificent people and I see what we are engaged in from week to week and day to day as we are interested in the disposables of society, I thank God. So often old folks in our society are disposable. Some folks even suggest that we ought to help them by euthanasia and just sort of edge them along the way and help them on the inevitable road where they're going. This congregation doesn't believe that. As evidenced by the people who leave here every Lord's Day morning and go to the rest home to conduct a worship service. As evidenced by Virginia Morris and her cookie brigade as they make cookies week after week and cakes and they take them over to the rest home to the elderly people and say, we love you, we're not disposable, you're still important to somebody. When Charles Williams and Jack Eaton and the host of men who helped them go yonder to the prison and sit down with those people, the disposables of society, and try to teach them about Jesus Christ. They're saying, we are made in the image of the Almighty, and we love everybody, and we're interested in you. We want to help you. Every Lord's Day morning, we have little boys and girls come in here and bring cans of food to the pantry. That Mark Hughes and those who assist him dispense from. That we've asked for some extra help with because we're getting a number of calls now. Why is that done? Is it because we want some busy work for these little? No, it's not that. It's because there are people there that need our help that we love and we're made in the image of God. Remember that you're not disposable, you're made in the image of God. Keep this in mind. You know, I really didn't mean an hour and a half. We'll hurry along here. But I want you to get this point, and I don't want you to forget it. When we go back to the Old Testament, one of the commands
is, thou shalt have no graven images before me. God said, don't you take metal and melt it and pour it into a mold and make a god of metal to set up on a stand somewhere. I don't want that kind of image. Don't go get you a tree and carve it into some kind of image and set it up and worship it. I don't want that kind of image. Why? I don't know all the reasons. But good people, at least one of the reasons was that God had already made his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. Did you hear it? God made an image, and you and I are to image God upon the earth. Not something metal. God is imaged in our humanity. He made it that way. You are important. You're made in the image of God. You are important because you're made to have fellowship with God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, you recall that Adam and Eve walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. That's what was happening when God missed Adam one day, didn't have his usual walk, and Adam was hiding from him. How can you not be important when you are the only creature in this world to whom God talks and who can talk to God? Would you feel important this morning if you got called in to talk with George Bush? Well, most of us would feel important if we just got called in to talk with a senator or a congressman. Wouldn't take the president. How can we not believe that we are important when we are able to talk to the Almighty God? You are important. You are not disposable. You are not disposable. Because you've been bought with a price. I thought this microphone was on my necktie. I hope you've been able to hear me. One thing the Lord blessed me with was a loud voice. I've got it on now for those brethren in the booth. I just realized I missed the switch when I came into the pulpit. First mistake I've made since the last one. You are not disposable because you have been bought with a price. And not just any price. Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that it was not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own precious blood that he entered within the veil. Jesus had to take a sacrifice. And all through the centuries, the blood of bulls and goats had been being offered, but it wasn't offered anymore. It wasn't good enough for you young people. It's not good enough for you older people, mothers and fathers and grandmamas and granddaddies. Jesus took his own precious blood and entered within the veil, and there he offered it for you and for me. And so Colossians tells us that in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You are important because you've been bought with a price. You know, when we want to measure the value of something, have you ever gone up to somebody and you've seen they've had something very nice? Say, oh boy, how much did that cost you? And when we get the price, we begin to measure its value. When you get the price paid for you, how can you place a value on it? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. And then finally, let me suggest to you that you are important because you belong to the right family. You remember the passage that was read a few moments ago, 1 John chapter 3? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, listen to it, that we should be called the sons of God. But that's not the marvelous part of the passage. The marvelous part of the passage is that which follows. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, and such we are. That's the marvelous part. We're not just called the sons of God. We are His children. And He looks down upon us with a fatherly love. But it carries with it obligations. The last verse there in 1 John 3, 1-3 says that those who have this hope set on them purify themselves even as He is pure. It carries an obligation for you to purify your life before Him. What is man? The psalmist asked it in the long ago, Psalm 8 and verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? I suggest to you that that question was answered at Calvary. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and verse 8, God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is man? Made in the image of God, bought with a price. We are important. We are not disposable. Part of not being disposable is that you and I are going to live forever somewhere. Is heaven your home this morning? Have you committed your life to God through Jesus Christ? In loving obedience to His will, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repenting of sins, confessing His name, being buried in the waters of baptism to arise to walk in newness of life. If you've done that and you've wandered away, you've tried to dispose of yourself and you've gotten rid of your spiritual life, won't you come back to Him this morning? Let Him restore you, refresh you, lift you up, and lead you on. If you'd be identified with us in our work and worship here, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?